Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 10th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 98, the first paragraph that begins with, "It is not a matter of giving that is in question." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kathy B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Patty L. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Stephen G., Kara L., and Laura W. The share ID for Tuesday, November 9th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,054. 18054. This morning's Wednesday, November 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 18,062. 18062. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. I am Kathy B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and I live in Oklahoma. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning.
Thank you, Kathy B. And Patty L., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please. Star one to unmute, Patty.
Good morning, yeah. This is Patty L. Sorry, Massachusetts.
That's okay.
These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me serve.
Thank you, Patty L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 98, the first paragraph that begins with, "It is not a matter of giving that is in question." And we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So, good morning, Stephen G. from Toronto. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. I'm Stephen G., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Okay. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff in here. And the theme of this chapter seems to be that as a recovered compulsive overeater, I need to be of service to other people. I need to carry the message. I need to give of myself. But in these last few paragraphs, it's also cautioning me that there's a limit to how much I should give of myself. And if I go beyond a certain limit, I'm actually harming that person and not helping them. And we've seen over and over in this book that it's said in multiple different ways that the solution is a dependence upon a power greater than ourselves, not on a dependence on another human being. The book very early on says that the purpose of this book is to enable us to find a power, capital P, that will solve our problem, not to enable us to find a sponsor that will solve our problem or a person that will solve our problem. And my own experience of the disease, my building is doing a fire drill, so if there's some noise in the background, I apologize. But my experience has been that until I was absolutely, completely devastated by this disease, I wasn't willing to do what was necessary. And what was necessary is I had to take some very significant actions that were uncomfortable for me, that nobody could do for me. And And until I was absolutely desperate, I didn't want to do those things. So I would clamor for, please do this for me. Please do this for me. Oh, I can't do this until these conditions are met. And that's not true. And the reality is that God will not do for me what I can do for myself. And that's a lesson I had to learn over and over and over. And ultimately, I've come to the conclusion that there are only three things that are necessary. The first is a significant amount of pain. The second is the instructions in the big book. And the third is a power greater than myself. And a sponsor is really just a guide. And when the pain is significant enough, then I will follow the actions in the big book and I will access a higher power. And the sponsor's touch has to be very light. I think this is what this book is trying to tell me. I have to give of myself, but there is a limit. And I have to let the person do certain things. I can't do them for them. And if I do, I'm going to harm them. Thank you very much. That's all I have for today.
Thank you, Stephen G. Murphy's Law, that's going to go off right when you're talking. Okay, well, thanks for getting us started. And I'm ready to take names. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? Who hasn't shared Monday or Tuesday? Page 98, the first paragraph.
Yep, Bonnie Carol. B. from Florida.
Okay, who from Florida?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie G. from Florida.
Bonnie B.
Laura W.
Bonnie B. and Laura W.
Lisa M. from Florida.
Lisa, what was your initial, Lisa?
F from Florida.
F is in Frank?
Yes.
Okay, and who came in after Lisa?
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Debbie P.
Debbie P.
Sherry M.
Sherry M. Okay, let's stop right there. That's a great lineup. Thanks, guys. Okay, so I have Bonnie B, Laura W, Lisa F, Jordan L, Debbie P, and Sherry M. If I got your initials wrong, you can correct me. So go ahead, please, Bonnie from Florida.
Thank you so kindly. Good morning, everyone. I listened to the early morning meeting also, and I thought about this paragraph a lot, and I thought about my disease, and I thought it's not a matter of giving because I'm compulsive in my giving. This is that gift / not good thing. And so then why would I be propelled to swoop in and quote unquote save people in program? Because there's a payoff for me. This is what was revealed this morning. There's a payoff for me. If I feel like I have helped someone, then it's my disease again. And I'm not helping them, and I'm not helping me. I'm actually keeping them from the only thing that's going to deliver them permanently. And so for me, it's not about the, not so much about the what can I do as much as what would my God have me to do. And that's what everyone else talked about, showing up, being a support, directing them back continuously to, I don't know, but we can pray about this. I know that God knows. All roads have got to lead back to their higher power. Otherwise, it's like I'm taking someone fishing and I catch a fish for him and he gets to eat, but I don't ever teach him how to fish. He has to figure out himself how to go to God. I lead, I encourage, but I don't swoop in and I don't fix. And that's not natural to me because that's my propensity. It's always been that way. But when I do that, I take their eyes off of the only one that can fix them and put them on someone that cannot fix them. And so I'm really doing them a disservice. So grateful for this little tiny nugget here, because in my world, it's about stepping back again and allowing God to do for them what only he can do. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you much.
Thank you, Bonnie P. from Florida. And Laura W., you're up, followed by Lisa F. Go ahead, Laura.
Thanks, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, it's not the matter of giving that is in question. So it's telling me it's not a choice. It's not a matter, I have to do this. And even though my relationship with my higher power is the most important thing in my life, you know, the fellowship is there for a reason. If I just isolate and say, oh, I don't need other people, I don't need a sponsor, I don't need to make outreach calls, I don't need to help other people, I can just rely on God, I think that's a huge mistake. At least it would be for me. You know, OA taught me to care less about myself and more about other people. And when I do that, it, you know, God directs me on how and when to give. On the other thing it talks about, you know, job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people, and I will also add, or things, ahead of dependence on God. And somebody once shared with me, you know, if I'm not willing to do whatever it takes, Bill and Bob can come back from the dead and sponsor me and I'm not going to get well. But if I am willing, literally Mickey Mouse can sponsor me and I can recover. So it really, you know, to rely on other people, it's, you know, we're imperfect. And, you know, people are going to let us down. Our sponsors are going to let us down. It's just human nature. We don't do everything right. So a sponsor for me, my sponsor never tells me what to do. And that kind of annoys me sometimes because I'm like, please tell me what to do. And she says, you know, I haven't experienced that. I can't tell you what to do. But what she will do is she'll say, here's what I'm hearing, or this is what I suggest, or, you know, she lovingly gives me guidance. And that's what I try to pass along to my sponsees, because when I start directing people and telling them, well, you shouldn't eat that, or you shouldn't do that, or this is what you need to do, you know, I'm playing God. And that's a huge, huge red flag for me to know that, you know, I'm not relying on my higher power, and I'm acting like somebody who knows better, and I know what's best for you, and I certainly don't. So it's a great reminder that I have to give in order to get well. You know, and we do this together. We trudge the road of happy destiny together. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. And Lisa F., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. This is Lisa F., grateful, abstinent, recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, so this is just the timing of this paragraph is just so perfect for me because I've recently been putting my name out as a potential sponsor for people. And I had a situation recently where somebody was asking me to sponsor them, but then as we were talking and I was suggesting the things that I did that my sponsor did with me, she was resisting all of the suggestions, and she didn't want to do this and she didn't want to do that, and then she was in another program and she wanted to do certain things in our other program, and what I realized was, you know, as I was listening to her, I was getting the sense that she, you know, she really didn't have the desperation or the, you know, the willingness to go to any lengths. But yet my own ego got in the way because I felt like, you know, this person has had other people reject her and they haven't wanted to sponsor her. So, you know, I'm going to save the day, right? I'll be the sponsor. I'll be the nice person that's going to sponsor her. But when I hung up the phone, I just felt depleted, and I just felt that it's not going to work. So I sent her an email, and I told her it wasn't going to work. You know, she got very angry, and she accused me of taking her inventory. It just got really messy. So what I realized is, you know, I'm just a guide. All I can do is share my own experience, strength, and hope. I can't, you know, be the be-all and end-all for somebody. I can't fix them. I can't tell them what to do. They have to have the willingness. They have to take the actions themselves. I can be kind. I can be supportive. But if they're not ready to hear the truth, if they're not ready to really look at themselves and do the work, there's nothing I can do about that. And I can't want recovery for another person more than they want it for themselves. And sometimes I feel I've been in that position where I just, you know, I feel so good about my own journey and the fact that I've been abstinent and I've had a spiritual awakening. I want everyone else to have it, but you know, they have to do the work. I can't give it to them. It's really, they have to do the work and then God gives them the gift. So that's all I wanted to share. Thanks for listening and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa F. in Florida. And good morning, Jordan L. You're up, followed by Debbie P. Star one to unmute, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me? Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, awesome. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with everyone this morning. I love this paragraph. I absolutely love this stuff. I think there's probably like somewhat, I don't know, messed up part of me that thinks of all of this human interaction stuff as like a game to figure out or something. So anyway, I'll keep working on that, God and I. But I have to say, like, I started sponsoring a couple of years ago. And it really is, like, it really is a practice that has absolutely changed my outlook on life, you know? I was someone, I had a lot of trouble living day to day prior to this program, right? And obviously, like, that manifested as an eating disorder and compulsive overeating and all of that. But even beyond that, the real problem was if you took away the food, I was left with no solution, like nothing to get me through the day, you know? And so the practice of sponsoring, this practice of getting out of myself, like getting away from all of my problems and woes and all the crap that I think I'm dealing with, getting out of all of that for an hour and getting on the phone with someone else and being present for them and what it is that's happening in their life and showing them, guiding them through this process. Like, that's a practice that has changed my life. I don't even care if it's changed the sponsees or not. Like, it's changed the way that I operate, you know? It brings good, very good, positive things into my life. I am inspired on a daily basis now. So that's why I give, you know what I mean? And then as far as the sponsee goes, I was someone who, prior to this program, my helping had a lot of expectations around it, and namely that you would be successful. And so, like, I can't, as a sponsor, I can't operate like that anymore. And this struck me just a couple of weeks or months ago. The 12 step, there's very few places in this book that it talks about, like, quote, I'll wrap up, quote unquote, helping. Like, what the 12 step says is that we carry this message, you know, like, there is, if it helps, great. If it doesn't, oh, well, I carry this message because it changes my life, you know, like, it brings me and a higher power closer. It brings me and a higher power closer. And if someone else wants in on that too, that's awesome. That's great. But it really is, like, this is, it's a good selfishness, if you will. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. And Debbie P., you're up, followed by Sherry M.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P., and I'm from Indiana, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Most of what I was thinking about this paragraph has been shared, but one thing I wanted to say is that I have a tendency of doing too much for others and have been present in another program that helps me with that. And what that has taught me is that I rob others of their dignity to find recovery on their own when I do too much. And so that sentence that says, the minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. And when I allow that to happen for myself and or for others, then of course, you know, God's not anywhere in there, and it ends up being just a bad situation. And so what I've learned over time is that I just need to be like a straw between what my higher power has for me and what other people ask of me, and how does that connect. And I have to be present as well so that I can hear the message from my higher power, because I do want to take control of situations and tell people how they should do things and how they shouldn't. And I have to be really careful about that when I'm sharing with others. And likewise, though, it's easier for me to identify when somebody is asking me to do too much. It's easier now for me to identify that, oh, no, that's not for me to do, that's for you to do. Or, you know, here's a suggestion. Like I heard that earlier, suggestions, not musts or have-tos. So I like this paragraph today, and everybody shares, and I will pass with that. Thank you.
And thank you, Debbie P. in Indiana. And before I take you, Sherry, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 98, the first paragraph. It is not a matter of giving that is in question. And I'll be taking some more names after Sherry. So go ahead, Sherry. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kathleen. My name is Sherry Hub, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. Gosh, this paragraph is packed with so many things, but I just, first of all, want to say thank you to Vision for You. I celebrated 2 years of being recovered on the 3rd of November, and it was, you know, the directions out of this big book, right? And I had a sponsor who I got recovered with, was my fifth Vision for You sponsor. So in case anybody's struggling, that's what it took for me. But when I was done, I was done. Hands in the air. God, take it. I don't care about it. Take all the food. Take it all. And from that moment on, I was able to become God reliant. But while I still had... while I still had a hand in the food, I wasn't able to be God reliant, right? And so my sponsor taught me. She spoke to me twice a week for an hour at a time, and I listened to vision calls in between that. So that was a lot of God time. It was before the pandemic, so there wasn't the influx of Zoom meetings all day long, and it was. I don't know if you're hearing that. My navigation is telling me. But anyhow, so I'm very grateful that I'm God reliant, and I go to any lengths to keep this recovery. And I would say before I got recovered this way through the big book, I was very sponsor reliant, and I have an AA sponsor many years. And she's feeling very left out lately because I don't call her with stories anymore. I run everything through the 10th step, but I go to God. And it's almost made the sponsor's job obsolete. And what was the sponsor's job was like listening to my problems and agreeing with me. And it was all keeping me very, very sick. And so I have a different way to live today, which is God-centered, God-reliant. I'm on my way to a funeral right now. And, you know, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning to prepare happily and joyfully prepare all my food in case I'm going to be gone for the 3 meals and it's a long drive. And if I do all that, that's what I do, that's my part, then God does the rest. And I get to show up to a very uncomfortable family situation of people that are not talking to me. And, you know, so family or no family, there can be chaos going on all around me, and I can still show up with this God reliance because God is who I work for. God is who I live for. And because of that, I get to live a free life today. And I'm so very grateful. Thank you all so much for your shares. And I pass. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service.
Thank you, Sherry M. in California. Okay, we're on page 98, the first paragraph. It is not a matter of giving that is in question. And if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I am ready for your name.
Michelle
Larry G.
Okay, I got Michelle, mm-hmm. Larry G. Michelle, what's your initial?
F is in Frank.
Okay.
Marie B.
Marie B. Veronica B.
Carol Q.
Carol Q.
Lynn B.
Lynn B. Is it B as in boy, Lynn?
D as in David, thank you.
B as in David, okay. Okay, I have Michelle F., Larry G., Marie B., Veronica B., Carol Q., and Lynn D. So go ahead, Michelle F., good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. I am Michelle F., a compulsive overeater and food addict, and I've been on both sides of this equation. I've been the really needy sponsee who, my sponsor stuck with me for 6 years before she fired me. And I thanked her for firing me because I needed to be woken up. I was taking advantage of her, taking advantage of her time and not managing my ADHD very well. So I needed that. But I've also been the sponsor with a very first sponsor who called me up to 30 times in one day. I counted. And I had to call and set a boundary. And in the middle of setting that boundary, she said, I think I need to look for a new sponsor. And I said, okay. I got this line from another meeting, from another fellowship this last week. And I thought, boy, this is it right here. If I had to say anything that made me recover, this is it. We go from seeing what life is doing to us to how we can participate in life. And that's really, I think, what this paragraph focuses on is that victim mentality. Help me, help me, help me. You know, I want the God to come and sweep down and save me from everything without having to experience any pain or do any work. And that's not how it works, you know. The God of my understanding will help me, but first I have to be willing to do the work and to cooperate. You know, if I'm being shown very clearly by the universe, hey, this is what has to happen, and I'm not doing it or accepting it, then I am not cooperating with my higher power. And, you know, it's not fair to other human beings to put them on the pedestal and make them the higher power. It's very draining, as people have said. So I hope everybody gets that gift of desperation and is willing to try reaching out to God as they understand God and be uncomfortable and do some work. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. And Larry G., you are up, followed by Marie B. Go ahead, Larry.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Happy birthday, Sherry. And Stephen, love your share this morning, man. You hit the ball out of the park. Larry G. from Northern California. Oh, gosh, there is nothing. I want to just give a shout-out to sponsorship and especially to the new members on our call who are recently recovered and who are now moving forward to sponsoring people. That my opinion is nothing I can say or do that's going to keep somebody from getting abstinent or stop somebody from leaving the program or leaving the program. There's nothing I can do or say or do. It's all in God's hands. And I have made every mistake that could be humanly possible as a sponsor. And I have to tell you, I got into Alcoholics Anonymous in 1981. I think I was really at some of the best sponsoring I did was early on because I just didn't know better. You know, I was just relying upon how my sponsor sponsored me, and I was relying upon the instructions in the big book. And when you think about it, this is the original link. This is our original link to our forefathers and foremothers, the first 100, and that was one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic, one drunk talking to another. And I don't ever want to forget that, because that's what I do. When I am sponsoring somebody, or guiding somebody. I am just talking with sharing my experience, strength, and hope to another food drunk. And the way I look at sponsoring today is I don't look at it as, hey, I'm sitting on this pedestal and I'm looking down upon you and I have all this wisdom that I'm going to provide. I really see it as a partnership today. The people I've worked with in Vision for You, since I have been coming to Vision for You, I feel we are in partnership. I learn as much from them as they learn from me. So there's nothing really to the new person out there who is looking at taking this on. There's nothing you can do or say. I mean, Bill W. was complaining because the people he was trying to guide through the four propositions from the Oxford group, he was not maintaining those relationships. And Lois reminded him, Bill, you are sober today. And that's what I want to say to you, is that, you know, don't miss this opportunity. There's no science of sponsorship. It's an art. And you just have to learn through practice, trial and error. And it's really up to God whether that person gets it or not. There's nothing I can do that's going to affect that. I remember one of the best things about Alcoholics Anonymous when I came in was that first sponsor. I was waiting for the shoe to fall off. Okay, where is he going to try to sell me donations? Where's the fee here, the cost? And he was just telling me, look, you know, you can take it or not, you know. Maybe you got to do more research, or you're not the kind of alcoholic I am if you're not willing to do this third step. I mean, there was no sales. There was no sales there. It was just given freely. So anyway, I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. And Marie B., you're up, followed by Veronica B. Go ahead, Marie.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Thank you for your service. We simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. That phrase means so much to me because I've been in and out of these rooms for several years, and I've had great sponsors over time. And early in program, in the early 2000s, I had three sponsors that all relapsed, and just kind of some left altogether. Some went back into step one. And at that point, I just kind of gave up or didn't know what to do. And so fast forward, I came back to program in March, and I started Vision for You actually in August. And I had a lovely sponsor, just love this person so much. And on the day I had my step nine all written out and ready to go over, she informed me that she relapsed. And it rocked my world. All I could think of was, like, that was a bad luck charm for my sponsors. And then I thought, you know, I put a lot of hard work into my program in the last few months. I need to keep going. So I prayed about it. I went to God and said, you know, what's my next step? You know, please help me. And I started asking questions from asking recovered individuals, you know, their advice on what I should do next. And I did realize that God had always been here. He put the people in my life that got me to the point where I needed to be. I'm recovered, and I took my ninth, my amends list, and I worked it and moved into 10, 11, and soon 12. I feel like I'm almost ready to sponsor, and I plan to take that experience with me. I think the lesson was learned that my sponsors were, you know, I got such invaluable life lessons from each of them, and God put them into my life for a reason. It's time for me, you know, my reliance really is on God. And if I'm puzzled, if I'm stuck, I pray first, and then I reach out to my fellows and ask, you know, their perspective. But I always try to follow my dependence on God above all else. It has changed my life in the most incredible way. to the newcomers there. I feel like a newcomer myself. I just would say keep coming back. It's awesome. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie B. And Veronica B., you're up, followed by Carol Q. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic from Los Angeles. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. I love the last line. We simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. I've learned that through working these steps and getting this relationship with God, my dependence on God is where I get the freedom. That's where the freedom lives, is me being dependent on my higher power. I get so much freedom when I am just depending on my higher power. I can only have one master. I can only have one master at a time. So my higher power, that's my master today. And this dependence on other people, I've made ex-boyfriends my higher power, and when I do that, it's a slippery slope for me. That's when I get in a lot of trouble, looking for my exes to fill me up and give me validation, to make me feel whole. When I start putting anything in front of my recovery, that's what I lose. This has been my experience in Overeaters Anonymous. And this dependence on sponsorship, I am so guilty of that. I used to depend on what my sponsor told me what to do. I would go to her for all the answers. I never wanted to make a decision. And for me, not making a decision is keeping me from being responsible. Like, I didn't want to get responsible. You know, I wanted to stay in the victim mode and not make a decision. And so working the steps and getting a relationship with God and getting the dependence with God, like, took care of all of that. It takes care of my need to depend on others. Where I depend on others is, it's nice, you know, I like to keep my sponsor current with what's happening in my life. And that it helps me to talk to somebody else. You know, nobody understands me like compulsive eater. But as far as like making final decisions, that's, you know, when I get quiet and I bring God into every decision. And as long as I'm, you know, using the principles of honesty and good motives, like, God always prevails. Like, the answer always prevails. You know, I don't really have to do too much. So this dependence on God is where the freedom lives. And it's a beautiful way to live. That's the only way I can explain this freedom that I get from my dependence on God. And but I do need my God tribe, you know, my God squad, the people in Overeaters Anonymous. I do need them in my life because for me, they're God with skin on them. You know, they kind of, they speak, you know, God speaks to me through others too. So, but the dependence on God, that's where the freedom lives. So thank you so much for letting me share. Everyone have a great day.
Sorry, I was muted. I'm so sorry. Thank you, Veronica B. in California. Carol Q., you're up, followed by Lindy. Go ahead, Carol.
Good morning, Carol Q. from Ontario, Canada. Very grateful to be here. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. I'm a returning recovered compulsive overeater, and I've been in and out of the program many years. And I'm very grateful for this vision for you, the big book, my sponsor, and the 12 steps. And my sponsor tells me I'm ready to serve now, to give what I have been given. And this really stays with me. It's not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. And for me, when I hit my bottom and I had the gift of desperation, then I was ready to listen and to ask a sponsor for help and guidance. And for me now, when to give is step 12 tells me that I share my experience, strength, and hope and depend on my higher power. So I'm just very grateful for this program and for all that it's given me. I was out the other day for a walk and walking through the leaves and looking at the beautiful sky and the sun and thinking, I'm happy. It's been a long time since I've been happy, and I'm very grateful. Thank you all so much for being here, for your sharing, and may God bless you all.
Thank you, Carol Q in Ontario, Canada. And Liz D, go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Lynn D from San Diego, California. And thank you so much for the opening share. That was great. When I first, when my sponsor first told me, all right, you're ready to sponsor, I was like, okay, well, give me the pamphlet or the Excel spreadsheet, like, on what to do. And he kind of laughed at me. But, you know, there is a lot of trial and error, but, just opening up that big book and reading together with Fonzi is just so magical. You know, there's something that connects everybody, and we get to share our experience, strength, and hope with them, and stories. I really appreciate everybody's stories around program, because those are the things that stick in my head. You know, there's definitely times, especially when I'm relying on self, that I go to other fellows and my sponsor and kind of ask them what to do. And I'm looking for the answer. And should I be placing more of my reliance upon God? Absolutely. But as somebody said before, it's uncomfortable. I don't like to be uncomfortable and sit in it. So I do need to go to my fellows and my sponsor for experience and strength and hope, but there is a definite reliance upon God that needs to come from answers as well. And I've been having this job this week, and it's been taking me to our local landfill, our dump, and I've never been to this dump before, but it's like so beautiful, and like the sun is coming up, and it's like remote area, and it's like you feel like you're in a different world, and it takes forever to get to where you need to go to finally dump your stuff. And it's like beautiful having this, like, you know, spiritual experience driving there. So keep your eyes open and look for God. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Lindy in California. And thank you, everyone, for your really wonderful shares this morning. Okay, we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kara L., if you would please read a vision for you.
Sure. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.